started. We'll resume with the public comment where we left off. Alex is up first, and then Connie and Glennie.
There we go.
Okay.
There's
a microphone.
All right, I'm bringing it.
Okay. Sorry, guys. I just had some candy, so. Okay. So, I'm just going to address what I think the first comment that was about privatizing and how does it work in terms of the NFB centers. If somebody who's 70 or 85 wants to go to those centers, what do they do? Or can they go? The answer is yes, they can go, but aside from Jeff's answer, it really depends on the state that they're from and whether or not they can get the funding to attend those centers.
That's true.
So that's really how that works. If you can convince your counselor that you need it if you're 81, then yeah, you'll go. And if you're 18 and you can't convince them to go, then sorry, you're out of luck. The other thing is, in terms of the training center and how many people should be there, yes, it's good, the training center. I've been there for a year, and it's really an environment where the instructors and the clients thrive. One, there are a significant number of students, not enough to be overwhelming, but certainly enough to get that synergy, to get people going, to kind of bounce off each other, learn, do things like that. So it's good that that's being considered. I think one way that that can be approached is that, kids that are going into school, 18 to 21, sometimes have a really hard time transitioning. Even people that are going for graduate degrees, postgraduate degrees who have lost vision. In other words, people who are not just seeking employment, but education. These are the people that a lot of times really struggle. And it costs money. When people fail out of classes because they don't have the proper training, it costs the agency money. When you don't have proper note-taking techniques, and this is why you're failing your math class or your English class, it costs money. And so you have a lot of clients or a lot of students who decide that they want to go to college and they want to do the things that their peers are doing, but they're really not prepared and they don't understand the reality of that. And I think that's one of the groups that should be really targeted in terms of going to the training center. There's no way that you can force someone to go to a training center. Like, if you're not ready, you're just not ready. And I'll say that right now. Mm-hmm. But there should be a real effort to try to target that demographic.
Can I ask a follow-up with Alex?
Oh, sure.
Okay. Hang on. He's good.
Alex?
Yes?
Oh, that new battery. just a follow-up question. I'd like your opinion. Well, maybe not. I'd like your opinion on something.
Sure.
Just, you made a comment about, if somebody's not ready to go to a training center, then they're just not ready. If somebody's not ready to go to a training center, but they don't have the skill, they're not ready to go there, but they don't have the skills that they would learn at the training center, are they ready for other services that we might be providing? And I don't want to say we never make a requirement, but I'm just trying to get an idea of what you might think about this. Is there if we're gonna have a student go to college out of high school, high school senior graduates from high school, and then they're gonna go to school at UNL or wherever, and they have not completed center training and they're not ready to go to center training. What do you think that they, I mean, this might be an individual thing, but are they going to succeed at college without going? If they don't have the skills that they learn at the training center, are they going to have the skills necessary to go to school? And if they don't, And if they don't, are you saying that we're wasting money by allowing them to go to school then without going to center training first?
Okay.
So, second.
I'm sorry.
So I think what I'm understanding from the question is, if my opinion is that in allowing clients who might not necessarily have the type of training given in the training center, mm-hmm. or that sort of similar training, is it a waste of kind of time and energy to allow them to attend classes? Is that?
What I was saying was, if I was trying to interpret exactly what your comments were, and if they're not ready to go to you were making comments about sometimes when people go to school, if they don't have the right training, then they're not going to have the school skills necessary to be successful in school. And so if somebody who has graduated high school and does not have center training and is moving on to college, and the reason they're not going to the center is because they're not ready to go to the center, are they ready to go to college? Are you saying that they're not going to be successful in college?
In my opinion, they probably will not be as successful as if they have some of this training.
Okay.
They can struggle through it, I'm sure, and some people might even do very well. Mm-hmm. But at some point, you know, you're going to be lacking.
Okay. So a fair statement is, in your opinion, they might succeed, but they might not do as well as they could.
Right. With the context, you have a student who's got a 4.0, right. In high school, and they have really poor mobility skills, but they're very intelligent, it probably is not going to matter that much. But if you have somebody who isn't doing very well, who isn't adjusting to blindness, and then, yes, they're going to college, and they don't have the center training, and they really haven't been targeted, and nobody's really approached them and said, hey, look, here's some people you can talk to. They've gone through this training.
Okay.
Here's a program like Gator Wages you can go to. Then they're not really going to – they are really going to struggle. That's the person that's going to really cost money.
Okay.
Alex, I'm glad you put that caveat in there, because I was getting ready to say something. Because, look, when I was – then I'll get to Connie. When I was – you want me to use a mic?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
Stereo.
I really don't. Anyway, I'm glad you put that caveat in there, because I was getting ready to just suggest that when I graduated high school, look, I was Main Street. I went to Omaha South, and that's, I did well. I had the Braille and the large print and the closed circuit TV and the typewriter and all that. And yeah, I had not gone through center training. I went to college. I had scholarships in hand and a major in broadcasting. Folks, I lasted 3 months. I dropped out of my own choosing because I wasn't ready for college. It wasn't a blindness thing, it was a me thing. I went because everybody told me I had to go. And if you go for that reason, you're not going to get anything out of it. So I'm glad you put that caveat in there.
I think Connie was next.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah?
Connie.
I know that our numbers are low in the center, and there are some issues that we've been working on. But it's very disappointing to me that one of the commissioners would state that we should privatize. I'm losing confidence that you guys really can support us in meeting our missions and mm-hmm. our goals mm-hmm. When those kinds of comments are made. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Connie. There are a lot of factors, I think, right now, and I do hope that people can be really, really mindful about their statements and how others may take those, because we do really need to come together as a team, and it's going to be hard work for everybody. from the commissioners and Pearl to all the staff to, you know, the people that answer the phones. It's an agency-wide thing. We're all going to have to put forth the effort. And I hope that we can be mindful of that. What we're saying either moves us towards that or it doesn't. And, you know, we need to... I would really like to see, and I guess this is one of my items that I had on my list and I forgot to bring up earlier, but I really like to see us move more towards a strengths-based approach. You know, yeah, we need to address what's going wrong, but we need to stop focusing on all the negative stuff all the time. And we need to, you know, these are some awesome things that we're doing, and let's keep doing those. Let's move forward with this. Let's focus on what we're doing right, and hopefully that'll build momentum, you know, and then the things that aren't going right will get figured out as we move forward. Glennie, I think you're next.
Who's?
Coming. No, as you all know, I'm old, so I was wondering about the elderly, the group, which is the more, was it more expensive, when the agency put on the deal at Kearney or when the VIPs did it? You gave the VIPs so much money, and then we had to pay for registration. We pay part of our own way. Which costs the most? You know, which was the highest? Bob or Pearl, either one?
Well, it's been a while, and see if I can remember. I think they were comparable, but I don't know that it is the key. With a lot of it, isn't the dollars; it's the staff. But let's see. Bob looks like he wants to jump in. Am I reading your face right, Bob?
Sure. I thought it was pizza or something.
There you go. The cost was pretty comparable either way. When you look at the actual dollars, you know. Again, RSA didn't find a problem with how we were spending money. The problem with the amount of time, you know.
Well, but when the VIPs did their own time, and then you guys just went and did the workshops.
But the VIPs were still using our staff.
Yeah, just for that day, it wasn't. But
well, there was also...
But there wasn't the preliminary to it, was it? Because I wasn't on the board too long before.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have the background of it too well.
There was a lot of coordination as far as, you know, preparing for the thing, you know. You know, there, we, you know, like, okay, one day, let's take a look at that, you know. So we got, well, actually, more than that. The VIPS workshop was 4 days long.
Toward the end.
Toward the end, but for several years. Yeah, you know, you come in on a Monday and you left on a Thursday. That's quite a bit of staff time when you multiply hours by, oh gosh, I would imagine we probably had at least 15 staff involved in the thing.
Was that before the workshops or during the workshop that you had them involved?
Throughout the whole...
Through the whole thing?
Yeah.
Maybe I was the one who caused it. I put on the board, and then they quit the next year.
Yeah.
I
mean,
we weren't going to. I should have gotten on to it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's what I was wondering.
Okay. Madam Chair.
Julie.
Jeff.
We talked about before this, before lunch.
Okay, can I?
Yeah, I can wait until
Jeff. Let's go through public comment. Yeah. Okay, I heard Jeff, and there were there others?
Karen Anderson.
Jeff, Karen, others? Okay, let's hear from Jeff.
Part of what I wanted to address, just kind of following up on what Alex said earlier, and we're talking about whether individuals are ready for the center or ready for college. There are times when an individual does not really have a full understanding of where their skills are, where their abilities are. And like most other young people coming out of high school, college is the next step. That's what they feel they need to be heading for. And sometimes having a negative experience is necessary before you can go on to something positive. And so, I know that field counselors, from when I worked in the field, we would talk with people about the center. But a lot of times people say, I don't need that, I don't want that. And we would have them go to college and they would fail, maybe not totally, but enough that out of that they realized, hey, you know, there really is an issue in terms of my skills. And then they would, at that point, become ready to go to the center. We also, one of the things that has taken place in the center is a slightly bumping up of the preparation for people to enter the center. Because at times we were having folks coming in and they hadn't had a lot of experience with sleep trades. They didn't have a complete understanding of what the center was going to be like. And so it was very difficult for them to make that transition into that situation. And so we created a list of prerequisites a while back with the idea that getting people better prepared to come into the center from the field. And I suspect that some of what we're seeing in terms of the lower number of people is the field responding to that and saying, okay, we've got to put more time in with these folks, get them a little bit more cranked up, ready for that situation.
Okay.
Do you want me to get a Karen?
I have a follow-up question for Jeff, I think.
And something that I had mentioned, and it has also since then come in as a suggestion in our suggestion box, is to have a short-term intensive training. Do you think that would be helpful in meeting that gap between, you know, clients maybe thinking about the center, wanting to move forward with that, but not having the skills that they need to live in an apartment in downtown Lincoln and go to the center? Do you think that's a reasonable?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Short answer. I just want to say that we do have in each of the districts group teaching that is exactly what you just described. So it varies a little bit in the district, but we do that.
I think we're talking about even more, like a
more.
Yeah, like a residential.
Yeah, they do.
Like gate and sale, those?
Yeah.
But don't they live in their own apartments and then travel to in for training?
Well, like I said, it varies in the locale.
Okay.
Maybe in Omaha they do a gate. I don't. So do they stay at home? Or they aren't all from the town.
They're not all from the town, so they come to stay at hotels sometimes.
Okay. But I think that's something to explore.
Oh, sure. How can we strengthen that? They've shown to be really, really good, valuable trainings, but we could probably do some things to strengthen or whatever.
I would say, too, that we used to do more of that. It was home teaching plus for...
We do more, but...
He's saying we did more with home teaching plus. But I want to say that the home teaching plus was once a year,
right.
And it started as 2 weeks, but became 1 week. And so actually we do way more now with the more localized group teaching than home teaching plus was.
But in any case, what I was wanting to point to was the idea that maybe what we need to be looking at is, as Julie was saying, a strengthening of that, but also recognizing that even though field staff do great work, it's very difficult for them to get out and really give the time to people, where if you can bring people in as a group, you're able to get so much more accomplished. And so even doing more of that may be what we need to look at.
Mm-hmm. Should I go to Karen now?
Yeah, let's do it.
I think most of what I was planning to say has already pretty much been covered by Jeff, but I just want to reiterate that sometimes it is really, really important for us as college students who do come out of high school a lot of times thinking that we are amazing and that we've got it all covered. It's important to have some failures sometimes before you go to the center. Sometimes those come in college when you realize that you can't find your classes. So it's such a mixed bag, and I think one thing the commission does well is that they evaluate things on a case-by-case basis.
That's true, Jeff.
Thank you.
What next? I'm not sure.
Yeah. Did we have more comments? Okay. I guess I really enjoyed this conversation. I really would, in the next few months, like to really explore new programs, new ideas, new ways that we could move the agency. I think it's pretty clear that, you know, we've essentially been conducting, there have been changes. I don't want to dismiss that, you know, things like Home Teaching Plus and Gate and Sale and Project Independence and Wages and all those things, they're good programs. I'm just thinking, you know, we've been doing the same general things for a long, long while, and they're awesome and they're great. However, you know, people's needs are changing, and that's one of our upcoming topics, how to address that. So maybe that'll be a good time to talk more about this. And employers' needs are changing, and technology is so different that maybe we need to explore providing services in a new, innovative way. And I have no idea what that looks like, but I want us to think about it. You know, and maybe what we're doing is the right thing, but at least thinking about it will, you know, everything we come up with isn't as good as what we're doing, well, then we know we're on the right track.
Yes.
Thank you. I do want to comment that I always struggle. Every time I give the report, there's so much going on, I always leave out really important things. And some of what's going on is, I think, really along the line of what you're talking about, Julie, that we've got a major employment conference coming up. It'll be really geared to clients and to employers, and it's a very innovative approach. I think it'll be a real dynamic program. It's a three-day thing, so I mean, it would take me another half hour to give you all the details, but and staff in the field offices are networking with business in a lot of different ways. So with the work the technology team is doing, there's a lot with the state, which is the major employer, and with employers in general, and with technology. And so there are a lot of things going on that it's hard to really capture and tell you all about, and we could probably take the whole board meeting each time and tell you all the work that's going on. Just so you know, I think I agree with you. We need to keep thinking forwardly, but I do believe we already are, and that we, on an ongoing basis, the folks in each work unit, they're looking at, you know, how can we strengthen this? How can we make this better? And so anyway, just wanted to put that out there.
Okay.
Are there any other public comments before we move forward?
Say
any other?
Say your name.
So who did?
Kenda.
Kenda had? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
Yeah, don't let me forget.
Okay. Something that I have noticed, along with your enrollment being down, attendance at the blind organizations has gone down too. I have attributed that to the cost of transportation. I know for myself, I'm paying $350 to $400 a month for cab fares because Moby will not cross the county line, so I have to take cabs. And because of that, I had to cut out the treatment I was getting, so now I've backslid so that I am now as shaky as I was a year ago. And it's costing me physically, and there's no way, we've got to find a solution for it. Personally, as president of the ACB, we have lost membership this year. I attribute part of that, well, actually four of the people died, but the other part, I think, is because, transportation is a major problem. And we sell the sheriff air tickets at the meetings, but that's all we can do is $75 worth a month. We've got to come up with another solution. NFB's membership has gone down a bit too. 2 years ago at the January meeting, there was about 50 people. I have not seen that number there since then. So there's something that is affecting all of us, not just the commission, and not just the clients, it's everyone. And I know we want to brush off the transportation because everybody has that problem, but it's not something we can brush off. We have to come up with a solution. I'm doing what I can, and I'll do everything I can think of or anyone suggests that I can possibly do, but if somebody comes up with a suggestion for all of us, that would be fantastic. Thank you.
Good point. Thanks.
Okay. Mike?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Mike.
Dr. Van Zandt, I had one last follow-up question for you regarding the commissioner or the director's report that you gave a little while ago.
Yes.
And that was there had been an effort in the past, there has been an ongoing effort for the center staff, the training center staff, to complete a desk audit. And I was just wondering if you could give us an update on that.
Okay. Center staff have been given full permission to work on that to the extent they need to. They now all have a full planning day or work day per month, which is something new. I have not heard from any of the staff if they're working on it or not.
Okay.
So, it's kind of, if they want to, they certainly can, and then it goes to the state.
Okay. It's my understanding from speaking to you at the state staff meeting, as well as speaking to some of the orientation center staff, that because they're all, this desk audit was going to be done for the entire training center staff, where in the past, when these have been, more recently in the past, when these have been done for staff members, it's been done for an individual position. And granted, but in this case, they wanted to do it as a team. So they were trying to coordinate the entire, so it's kind of being done in a slightly different way than it had been done in the past, because we're doing so many at one time and they're related. They work together so closely that they're trying to do the entire process together. Is that correct?
That was a suggestion, but it doesn't have to be that way.
Okay. Patosh had a comment.
Can I give the mic to Patosh, Julie?
Yeah.
Okay.
When
I was very involved with the CPQ that we did.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how the center staffed it at the time also.
Okay.
So this is really not a new thing.
Okay.
And you're referring to back when, early in our life as a commission,
right.
Yes.
We, the agency yeah. did really right. a major look right. at all the, so yes. But if, I'm sorry, if the if any individual staff member, either in the center or anywhere within the commission, wants to do their work to their own thing, there is absolutely nothing that prevents them from doing that.
Okay.
To do their, it's, that desk audit actually comes later if state personnel decides to do it,
okay.
but developing the PDQ is the
right.
individual.
Right. Okay. So where I was trying to go with this, I apologize, I was trying to ask some leading questions to this, and that is that I know that they have did you say one day a week or one day a month?
A month.
Planning time?
One a month.
Okay. And if, you know, if that's being utilized for what they're normally working on for the planning time for their coursework and so on, this has been an issue. This has been something that's been brought up several times, and I would love to see it just get resolved one way or the other to give them the opportunity to complete it.
Mike, can I?
Yes, absolutely.
We probably could both speak to it, but I'll give it to
you. As I remember in the meeting that we had with you and Julie attended,
mm-hmm.
I think Pearl and I made it very clear that if they ask time, it will be approved and not denied.
Okay.
I never got a request. And Pearl, did you?
No.
Okay.
And the one day a month is in addition to there's time in the
right.
schedule. While I there was another public comment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. While I walk that way,
okay.
other individuals in the past few years have done their own desk audits and, you know, field staff, different staff positions, so
mm-hmm.
it's really not, and they haven't asked for different time is all I'm saying.
Okay.
There you go.
I'm taking off my NFB hat long enough to talk as a employee. Part of what's going on is that we've done a lot as a team, we've done quite a bit of the writing. Mitzi has offered to work on it. I haven't heard much of late. She was looking at kind of going through it and making sure we had everything in a good consistent order. But one of the things we've talked about is the idea of maybe having somebody with a professional background and putting together the PDQ now or CPQ?
Mm-hmm.
PDQ. To help with doing that, once we have things a little more in order. For one thing, the forms themselves, for those of us that are blind on the staff, are not accessible.
Oh, yeah.
And so we are going to need at least that type of support to get the things put together. But also some advice on making sure that what we're presenting is going to be effective would be helpful.
Connie Danley.
I think that any staff that wants to do their own desk audit should use their own time and resources to do that. That's what everybody else does. There are morale issues in the center and in the field, and part of it is these PDQs, because the center staff believe that they should be paid more and at a different level than the field staff.
Okay.
And the field staff do a lot
mm-hmm.
and have a lot of responsibilities. Mm-hmm. We can't focus on one area. We have to be able to do it all. So this is one of the issues that is causing a morale problem.
Okay.
Good point.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I just need to say one thing. You know, I obviously, excuse me, got a reaction, and that's what I meant to get. What I was surprised with, I guess, is the programs for the rehabilitation. I understand that with the center. But we told these older people like myself now that we don't have the time resources to put into something for the senior blind, which I understand because the people, you know, you have to go with what your priorities and what you're funded for. We have to then look outside the box, grants or something, because we have to reach, you know, I don't see why the senior blind shouldn't get their training or their workshops or things like that. And I think we really have to hit those people, get to them.
The comments that were made about the PDQ was extremely helpful. I was coming from was it was my understanding that the people who have done them in the past were doing them for an individual position. I'm not saying that the center client or the I'm sorry, not saying the training center staff isn't doing it for an individual position. But it was my understanding that the people who had done them in the past didn't do them on, and I could be totally wrong, but that they didn't do them on their own personal time on the weekends or whatever, that they had just found time to get it done. The reason why I was bringing it up was that it was my understanding that the center staff was trying to accomplish it in a different way than what had been done by these other individual employees more recently, where the center staff was trying to do it as a group. And so I just wanted to try to see if they were having the time needed to be able to do that. At this point, it sounds like they're not asking for any additional help or resources. So, you know, I'm fine with that. If they need something in the to do it, I hope that they speak up.
Thank you. Pearl, could you confirm what Mike just said? When other individuals who have completed the PDQ, they have done it in their office time, but in between their other responsibilities. Is that?
Yes. In most cases, yes. And but I think there's been a mix of, you know, let me have the mic.
Yes, it has been a mix of both, I think. I just do want to add that then they go to state personnel, and when we did the big push 10 years ago or whatever it was, we did get approval of almost all of them. Over the years, more recently, a few of the requests have been approved, more have not. But people aren't going to hear about the ones that get submitted and rejected.
Sure.
So just so everybody knows, it's not a done deal. But there have been many folks, or you know, a number over the years that have taken their own time within their work or without. Either way, they've gotten it done, and not, you know, they've still done their job. So it's a doable thing. Okay. And then it goes to personnel.
The way that I understood it, and I could be wrong, was that if the agency wanted you to do your PDQ and the agency wanted to look at it, then they did it during work time. Okay. And if you individually wanted to do it yourself, then you took your own time. That's okay. The way, but that's not true.
I don't know what's required by state personnel regulations. I know that generally, if you want to walk the mic back, generally,
because I have one more.
Oh, you do. Okay. She has one more. Okay. I just want to respond that basically, the administration, we have tried to support people to advance themselves personally, professionally, in whatever way that we can. Mm-hmm. Now, not to the point where if your clients aren't being served, then right. Yeah. You still have to be able to get your job done, but I think that we've basically supported people to do it in whatever way works, that if that person in that position believes it should be advanced differently, mm-hmm. You know, they can do the work and, you know, see what works. So I can't really tell you what it says in state regulations, but we try to just be supportive in a way that is, you know, advancing the positions may have a positive effect on the commission overall. So it's not like, it's not a conflict, I don't believe.
The only other comment I have is that the center has talked about it for 2 years, maybe three. Mm-hmm. They have 4 clients in the center now, so they should have time.
Okay.
Right.
Yep.
I agree with it.
Yep.
Okay. Any other follow-up comments from commissioners real quick?
Nope.
We're good? Okay. Then let's go ahead and move forward with our next agenda item, which is the budget. So I'll let Pearl tell us about money.
Just pass it around.
Here we go. Okay.
Thank you. Okay. The sequestration I mentioned is going to impact our voc rehab and our independent living grants. The supported employment and older blind will stay the same, and also there will be a decrease in like the client assistance and assistive technology and centers for independent living. However, with our regular grant, plus we have been getting a lot of reimbursement from Social Security, and in fact, just yesterday or the day before, I got notice that we have another something like $225,000 that we will be getting. So folks are doing a great job helping people get jobs. We get reimbursement when clients get jobs and get off of benefits. And so although there's a decrease in some federal funds, we also have this other fund, which then we can direct a certain amount to the different grant coding systems. So financially, really, we're in good shape. Our budget request went in, and on April 29th, the Appropriations Committee did come out with their numbers, which are probably at the final level to go to the governor, I think. And those are a little bit above the level of our request to allow for that increase in the negotiated raises. And then there's a little bit that's subtracted from that, which is called a deficit budget, related to some the health insurance withholding is the word I was looking for, that has to be added in to our costs, which means subtracted from our budget. And so at this point, the amount that it looks like we'll get from the state, it's a little over $1 million. The lower figure is actually an earlier date than the one, but in any case, it's a little over $1 million each of the state fiscal years for the next biennium.
Okay.
So, long story short, really our funds are in good shape, and we're doing some things to utilize the extra money to, we try to be careful with our approaches in that, if you have enough money to hire staff, but then that money isn't a sure thing for the future, right, then you end up with layoffs. So we try very hard to be smart about all that. Any questions on the budget? That's pretty much the big 30,000 picture view.
Thank you. So, is the state going to provide the full amount that we need so that we can get our full federal amount?
Yes, they provide more than what we need to match.
Okay, so we're, okay.
Yes, thank you. I
thought that's what
yeah.
But yeah. Okay. Questions about budget, commissioners?
No.
I don't think so.
Okay. Pearl, is there anything else?
No.
With budget, okay.
No, I don't. Nothing we need to go into.
Then we'll go ahead and move on to our next agenda item, which is NFB Newsline. And Jamie did send the report.
I have one more comment on Newsline.
Okay. Commissioners, while the microphone is over here, do any of you guys have questions or comments about Newsline?
No, it was pretty straightforward this month, this time.
Okay.
I haven't read it, but I will.
You do?
No.
Oh, I haven't read it, but I will.
Thank you. I just wanted to add that one of the suggestions from staff about changes to make with the funding was to add a newspaper of the Norfolk Daily News, and so we have decided that we're going to do that, so that'll be added to the Newsline list. I don't know how long it takes to get that, but we'll work on that. I'm going to walk the microphone over because I think the next topic I'll speak to also.
Final remarks about Newsline?
No.
Okay. The full report from Newsline will be in the meeting minutes. So our next topic is the client assistance program.
Yes.
Okay. Victoria Rasmussen is the CAP person, director. And in addition to two CAP cases, which I'll tell you about in a minute, she also wanted you to know she's been working with us on the W Drive and the work there, the employment committee. She attended state staff meeting, and she provided the training about CAP to the two new staff members. Okay. Then there have been two CAP cases. In one, the individual was told he needed to take typing classes in order to use the computer. He was uncomfortable with that and did not want to take classes. She, that is Ms. Rasmussen, and the client talked about the fact that he really needs to become comfortable with the keyboard in order to use the computer with his limited vision. It's not so much you have to type, but you definitely need to know your way around a keyboard. So he did understand after talking with her and agreed to do that. And then the second one was that a person felt the commission was not providing placement services. She reviewed the file. She talked with staff and supervisor involved, and she determined that the commission was doing everything that we could do to help the individual be successful.
Okay. And when you say placement services, you mean job placement?
Yes, job placement, okay. Employment.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions from commissioners about the CAP?
Nope.
Cases? Okay. We will move on to our next item, which is the business enterprise, is that correct?
Yeah.
Business enterprise program update. And Pearl, are you going to talk about that, or is it Carlos?
I'm going to I'm going to give Carlos the microphone.
Okay.
I can hold it.
I need to stand.
Okay. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. So this is a short, and if you have questions, I'll be glad to answer after the brief description. As I told you at the last meeting, we were working with the joint forces, the National Guard and other armed forces, to get a contract. That contract was finalized almost 3 weeks ago. And all we're waiting for is a date in which we can start installing the machines. The person who was on training for that particular site finished his training successfully, and he was licensed almost 3 weeks ago. So we were expecting that that was going to happen. We're also working on redoing a contract with the Department of Roads for the rest areas. The problem with the previous contract was that there was not details about what we were paying or the vendors were paying. So this new contract is going to outline mainly the fees for the machines in regards to utilities. Because of getting the new contract, one of the statements is that we need to get all the machines ADA accessible, which we thought they were, but they are not. So we are going to be getting around 40 new machines. So we are glad that we got some social security reimbursement.
So what happens to the old machines?
We will have to surplus them, right, Bill?
Yeah.
I think some can, if there are some that are newer than, say, at a facility that doesn't have that requirement, we could shift it out there, but otherwise surplus.
Throw it out.
Okay. We also got 14 new small post office buildings, as I reported to you before. We finished with the transition. Seven of those small offices are being run by two current vendors, so they are already doing that. And the other seven buildings, we are subcontracting them, okay? And those are in Omaha. Don Ward went to the Sagebrush Conference, which is the Business Enterprise Program Division for the American Council of the Blind. He went there in February. And I'm going to be attending the one for the NMB division of blind merchants, which will take place in May, in a couple of weeks. The next vendors committee meeting will be in 2 weeks, Friday, May 17th. And the blind vendors, we have elections. Actually, the elections to elect the committee members is going to be, the deadline is by May 10th, and then on the 17th, they will elect the officers there, who is going to be chairman, vice chairman, and so on. And that's all I have.
Thank you,
Carl.
Thank you.
One quick follow-up question for you, Carlos. How is recruitment of new people into the business enterprise program? Are you getting a lot of interest?
Not a lot, but some interest. I may have to expand myself, because in the past, the problem was that the sites that we had, or most of them, they were not making enough money. So the clients who expressed interest either didn't want those because they were not going to make enough money, number one, or there were some of those clients who didn't do anything else and just wanted something extra to do without any skills or worry about being too responsible. So we are trying to change all of that. And the example that I gave you earlier on the joint forces, or the strategy that we're trying to use is when we know of an opportunity that is coming along, we let the field know, okay, this is what we are getting. The chances are we are going to be getting maybe a current blind vendor who wants to get there, but then a new vendor can move into the one that the other one will leave. Or if that vendor doesn't want to get there, the new vendor could get the new site. So we're trying to work it that way instead. If we are not having trouble finding new vendors when we get a new site, if that's
okay.
One of the answers you need to have.
Thank you. Are there more questions from commissioners?
Nope.
Okay.
Lunch.
It's lunch.
It's lunchtime.
Are we going to eat again? How about that?
Do any of the commissioners want to take a break?
I need to take a break.
Well, yeah.
I'm hearing two yeses.
Yep.
So let's take a quick 10-minute break, okay?